I was walking by the window of a bookstore and saw something that made me stop short. There, at the front of the display case, was Marie Kondo's best-selling book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And there, perched right next to Kondo's book in a neat side-by-side display, was another book with an equally attractive cover jacket. This one titled, The Joy of Leaving Your Stuff All Over the Place. It was a nice counterpoint, but I didn't buy either book. But that's because I already owned the first one. And the second one just made me think of friends I love who don't need more of that kind of inspiration. Decluttering. It is the phenomenon of our time. Some people love it. Some people love to hate it. I love it. In fact, decluttering became one of my top projects during my sabbatical last spring. I had been eyeing the 42,000 emails in my Gmail inbox. Yes, you heard me right, that's 42,000. When I told a friend the number of emails in that account, she thanked me for making her feel better about her own. Hearing that did not make me feel better. I had been eyeing the nearly 20 drawers of file cabinets in my storage space, mostly full. I'd been eyeing my airless closets, the basement with its big green bins stocked with sports equipment from my 30s, my many and very full bookshelves, and the reality that my living space is not actually very big. And I had been eyeing that book, the first one, Life-Changing Magic, sounded right up my alley. You've probably heard of it somehow, somewhere. It's the book that was the inspiration for multiple YouTube talks and a Netflix show. It is the book that has made Marie Kondo a household name and the anti-clutter movement a phenomenon for our time. And you could even say that her signature question, "Does it spark joy?" has made its way into our collective public consciousness, as evidenced by its appearance in popular media. The New York Times Magazine printed a cartoon recently showing a woman holding two overstuffed black garbage bags in a room in which all the dresser drawers are pulled out and empty, saying to her partner, "I'm not so much keeping what sparks joy as getting rid of everything that sparks rage." And a friend of mine recently posted a cartoon showing a burglar holding a TV, looking pensive, asking himself the question, "But does it spark joy?" It is a powerful question. Does it spark joy? If it does, Kondo says, you should keep it. If it doesn't, get rid of it. If you do that, your life will change, she asserts. If you follow these simple directions, something will open up for you, not just in your living room, but in your life. After your course, one of her clients asserts, I quit my job and launched my own business doing something I had dreamed of since I was a child. Your course taught me to see what I really need and what I don't, said another. So I got a divorce, and now I feel much happier. A third wrote, my husband and I are getting along much better. So luckily, it seems divorce is not an inevitable outcome. And finally, I'm amazed to find how just throwing things away has changed me so much, said a fourth. The more I read Kondo's book, the more it did indeed sound like magic. And on her Netflix show, there were all these people unburdened, happier, more connected, more alive. It looked good. I wanted to test her theory. I wanted to see what this would do for me. I wanted to find out if I too would find myself changed, freed, happier. So on my sabbatical last spring, I took the plunge. I started with those emails from 42,000 to 8,000 in under 3 hours. So many marketing emails gone. Extra clothing that didn't really fit, that I didn't really like, or that I never actually wore, gone. That old coffee maker that I kept around for when my mom came to stay, that she never used because she said it smelled like the rat poison from the basement, which it did. Gone. Files and papers and bills and receipts and photocopies that added up to over 100 pounds of paper, 6 giant garbage bags full of shreddings before I finally gave up and got Staples to do the rest. Gone, gone, gone. Are you feeling the relief with me? It sounds good, right? You can probably picture the before and after, stacks of clutter and overflowing paper, piles of junk on the left-hand side of the frame. And then this beautifully clear, organized, sorted work of organizational beauty on the right, like something out of Modern Living or Oprah Magazine or wherever they publish this kind of dramatic before and after. I almost took snapshots in case Marie Kondo might want to highlight me on her show in some way. I haven't heard from her yet. But maybe that's just as well, because the pictures wouldn't tell the whole story anyway. Those neat and clean before and afters that can appear so enticing in a magazine often leave out some messier parts of the process. Messier parts like grief, like feelings of loss, like reckoning. Messier parts like anxiety, fear, uncertainty. Letting go has its challenging, has its challenges, whatever form it takes. As I progressed along my personal decluttering trajectory, I discovered something that will not surprise you or her. Yeah, you say it. Stuff is not just stuff. And I discovered another thing that likely will also not surprise you. My relationship with my stuff is a reflection of my relationship with life, which for me means sometimes conflicted, sometimes hopeful, sometimes a little too attached, sometimes full of expectations. Stuff is not just stuff. I discovered that everything I went through, my clothes, my papers, my books, my knickknacks, every single thing in my house had a history and a future that I had imagined. Each item I owned was a reminder of what was happening at the time I got it. And each item had some hope attached to it, some way it was going to help me do something. Some way it was going to fix something or help me with something. Some way it was going to fix or change my life. Not to mention that many of them were also connected in some way to people in my life. From that history book from my aunt, who I loved so much, to that pair of boots that were going to make me feel as strong and powerful as my friend looked when she wore them, to the dozens of file folders labeled tantalizing things like great ideas for worship or insights for sermons or must-see films or shows. And then there are my books, all my books that were going to make me alternately smarter or insightful or skilled or successful. And I swear, some part of me believed that simply buying those books would reap me their benefits. Can anyone relate? And another part of me believed that as long as I hold on to them, whether or not I've read them, their wisdom is mine. They make me who I am, or so it feels. All of it, all my stuff, makes me who I am. Even those piles of papers that I just don't know what to do with. There's a reason we've collected what we have. It's part of our story, part of how we handle life, part of our history and who we've been, part of who we thought we would become, and perhaps who we hope we still will. And so this revisiting, this sorting through, is not just a simple tossing out and tidying up. It's like a review of our whole lives, which could lead to magic, and it could feel a little messy. One of the greatest challenges I encountered as I was going through my things was the resistance in my head. Even if I was clear that I didn't need something, hadn't looked at it in years, didn't really want it, don't throw that away, my mind would caution me. You might need that. You might need those bank statements from 1998. What if you get audited? You might need that folder full of wonderful ideas. What if some Sunday you can't think of anything to say? I remember reading about one of Marie's clients talking about the need to go through her husband's things after he had died. I can only imagine the resistance she must have felt. I can only imagine what that must have been like. Cleaning house is not just about things. Cleaning house can bring up feelings like anxiety, fear, and grief. And yet, even as it is all of those things, it also is a chance to practice spiritual principles like trust and hope and faith in the simple goodness of life. In fact, I wonder whether one reason Marie Kondo's method hits home with so many people is because it is based in spiritual principles, grounded in Kondo's own Shinto upbringing and infused with a gentle trust in each person's ability to connect with the truth in their own heart. Just hold each item in your hand and you will know, she said, what touches your heart. You'll be surprised how easily you can tell. Does it spark joy? Does it fuel your spirit? We can ask that about our things, and we can ask that about so many aspects of our lives. One of the things we've sometimes done in new member classes is to ask people the question, what from your religious heritage would you like to bring forward into the future? What has real meaning to you? What has sustained you? What do you cherish? What would you like to keep? And we also ask, what did not serve you? What did not feed you? What would you like to let go of to make room for something else? And as we enter this brand new year, we might ask ourselves the same. What do you want to keep from this last year with all its triumphs and joys? And what would you leave behind if only you could? The truth is that in life, of course, it is not so easy to just discard. Memories that we wish were different, mistakes we made, we wish we hadn't. Consequences we are experiencing that we wish we weren't, albatrosses we wish we had not placed on any tender neck, and albatrosses we wished had not been placed on ours. What would it take for the past to have been all right for what it was, after all? As I was going through my stuff, and I will confess I haven't yet gone through it all, it was like I was touching my own history, like touching with new compassion my younger self, and a chance to hold it all gently, let it touch my heart, and begin again to accept what was and what is not to be. And as I was going through all this stuff that at one time I had so carefully categorized and labeled and stored and then never looked at again, I had to ask myself, what would it look like to have faith? To trust that I will be enough, that I will have enough, that I will be okay, even if I'm audited. Which I won't be. Certainly not for something that happened in 1998. Cleaning out my stuff reminded me I've made it through hard times, and it was rarely my things that got me through. Letting things go reminded me that what really matters anyway is people. Cleaning house, in home or heart. January is a time to take stock, to look back and look forward. Time to hold on to what matters and let go with compassion of what no longer does, including sometimes some of our own ingrained attitudes. May we find as we sort through our things or through our past that we might grieve as we need to. Feel fear if we must, and lean into faith and hope and trust. May we find, as we anticipate this coming year with all its unknown challenges and all its unknown gifts, that we find a way to surround ourselves with joy.